and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. You all right, mate?
Hello. It's Halloween week. Come on, Ben. It's Halloween week. Get into the spirit of it, for goodness sake.
Jesus. Almost shit myself when you did that.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Halloween, but you know. I'm trying to get into the spirit of it this year.
I'm sure by the time this podcast is finished, or released, that Halloween is over.
It's Halloween week, isn't it? It goes on and on and on, because actually we're recording this on the Monday, so tomorrow, Tuesday, is proper Halloween.
Yeah,
and that's the day when everyone will be, all the trick-or-treaters will be out. I was really amazed that I haven't had any yet, but not that I answered the door to them anyway, but I haven't had any as yet.
This is the day of the year where you draw the curtains, turn the lights off and pretend not to be home.
Yeah, quite right too, fucking knocking on my door. Piss off. Leave me alone. I just want to be left alone. I don't want people knocking on my door uninvited.
Well, there is this sort of unwritten rule that if you have a pumpkin outside your house, that is the signal trick-or-treaters welcome. And they're supposed to be the only doors they knock at.
Right, well, that's because I've never had a pumpkin outside my door and I have had them knock. I think they've got the message, though, because I didn't have any last year at all. So I think finally, after 19 years at this address, they finally got the message. If you knock on this door, you're getting fuck all.
I think it's the same batch of children 19 years in a row. They've all grown up and got bored.
We're probably two generations down, and finally they're going, Grandma, Grandpapa, which houses can we go to? We'll stay away from the one with the red door. Because you get nothing but short shrift there.
I very much doubt the little scroats of Croydon are saying grandpapa.
It might be in South Croydon. That sort of area, as you go down towards Causden, they're probably grandpapa and grandmama. But I think in Thornton Heath, I don't mind this because it was always the same with me. It's just good old Nan. Good old Nan. Oh. Nan, granddad, which houses can we go to? Oh, I don't know, but stay away from the red fucking door because that bloke's a right tosser.
I mean, your doorbell, I know you've changed it recently, but you used to have the world's scariest doorbell.
Well, it always made me jump, that doorbell. I've changed it now. I've got a new doorbell. And when I changed it, there were members of my family go, why are you changing the doorbell? It's connected to the mains. You've now got a battery one. You've got to worry about that running out. Yeah, but the bell terrified me. It was such a harsh bell sound that I don't like it. And the new bell I've got, it's a ding dong. It's a much more sort of friendly sound. It doesn't make me jump like the other one used to. Even if I knew someone was going, like if you ordered a takeaway or you had a shopping delivery coming, you knew that someone was going to ring that doorbell, it would still make me jump.
I'm a little surprised you haven't rewired it for Halloween to deliver 50,000 volts to whoever pushes it.
If I knew how to, I would. That's where you're exposing my absolute ignorance when it comes to any kind of electrical work. And I think that's a good thing because it means I don't touch any electrics, because otherwise I'd probably be electrocuted by now. Like, I don't know about you. I always worry even if you're going to like change a plug. I mean, I know how to change a plug. I mean, these days you very rarely have to do that, right? Because they all come molded anyway. But, you know, I had to learn how to do a plug when I was at college. But I think now, I haven't done it for so long, I'm bound to burn the place down if I have to change this plug. Just not something that has stayed in my mind. I'm quite happy to admit to you right now, even though I learnt this all at college, if you were to ask me what colour wire is what in a plug, I don't think I could answer you without looking it up again.
Well, here's what really terrified me the other day. I was thinking I might need to install a new pull cord light for the bathroom because our one keeps sticking.
Okay, yeah.
What a story this is.
I mean, I don't know. I'm enraptured by it.
I unscrewed the unit thing, which was genius had painted over it, so it was really difficult to unscrew and get open. Finally, pried it open, and I was expecting to see the sort of little yellow and green twisty one, the red one. I was met with just two wires, black and brown.
Black and brown.
And I thought, I haven't got the first idea what any of these mean. And I just put it back. Just screwed it
back
into the
wall. Yeah. We can bathe in darkness, love. It's fine.
You can piss in the dark.
Yeah, who needs a light on for pissing? It's fine.
There's daylight in the morning, isn't there? Of course, that is one of the downsides of this time of year, is that the pissing hours become slimmer and slimmer as the darkness changes.
Once the clock changes, you need to, your final piss has to be about 4:30, and then you can't have one till what, probably, I don't know, 7 in the morning. It's a long wait, is what I'm saying.
It's so miserable. You go to work, it's pitch black. You come back, it's pitch black. It's horrible.
I don't mind it, you know. I mean, I don't like the darkness is a bit annoying, but I don't mind the sort of move into autumn and winter. I prefer them as seasons anyway, so I don't mind kind of getting into my favourite times of the year.
This year, we've decided to try and embrace it, because you can't change it, so you might as well, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I can't change what the sun's up to, so I've just got to try and enjoy it, or what's the point? So we're trying to get a bit more Halloween-y this year and sort of think, right, we'll watch some Halloween-y films and have some spooky things going on and try and get into the spirit of things. I'm quite enjoying it so far.
Okay, so what's the most Halloween-y thing you've done so far?
Well, we bought some decorations.
Decorations? What, for inside or outside?
For inside, because like you, I like the sort of Halloween-y vibe, but I don't really want to attract little shits to my front door.
Because I've noticed very few around my area. I went out the other day and I came across one house that they'd really gone for it. And I just think, wow, I mean, a fair play to them, but what a waste of time and money.
Now, we've bought some little indoor ornaments. They're not to be on display for
ornaments.
For the
these sounds like some sort of, like you've bought some idols that you're going to worship on Halloween. We've bought some ornaments, not decorations. You've bought ornaments.
Well, we've got three little ornamental pumpkin shaped candles, which are quite nice.
Okay.
And I bought a little family of gonks. Do you know what gonks are?
No, gonk. It sounds a racist term, mate. Are you getting us? I don't know what you're getting us into here.
I assure you, it's not. And it does sound a bit like a racist term, but it isn't.
I hope not, mate.
They're like little gnome-looking things.
Okay. Little gnome.
Have you really not seen gonks?
Gonks, are they like trolls? Are they? I'm going to look a gonk up now. G-O-N-K? Is that how we're spelling?
Yeah, put in Halloween gonks and you'll get an idea as to what I've got.
What was that thing? There was a bonky nose or something. What was that thing on television years ago that was a really weird, like a white face with a big nose? What was that? That wasn't...
What gonky. Are you talking about?
Gonky. What is it? Gonky. Halloween gonky.
Just gonk.
Gonk. Right, hang on. Halloween gonk. I'm looking.
Now, they split opinion because I love them, but some people absolutely hate them. They think they're the tackiest thing in the world. And I can sort of see why, but I love them. So we've got a little family of witchy gonks, and we've got a little cauldron for them to sit round.
Wow, that's incredible. I've got to find out whether it was Bonky Face. What was his name? Bonky Nose.
You're asking the wrong person. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, that's going to annoy me. Right. I'm going to find that out for later in the podcast. But it was a thing before your time. But I've got distant memories of this children's TV show. I think we've talked about this before, actually. I seem to remember sending you a picture of it. And it was like this guy, he was in like a dinner suit, and he had like a white face just with a big nose. And he would sort of run around the garden.
This is ringing a very distant bell with me, yes.
Mr. Bonky Nose. Right, hang on. Nosy Bonk. Nosy Bonk.
Yes, his
name.
This rings a bell. Let me Google it. This is great for the listeners, isn't it? People who are trying to listen to this.
Mr. Nosy Bonk. Look up Mr. Nosy Bonk, people, if you have not heard of this before. I mean, oh, God, terrifying.
Why is it when I put in Nosy Bonk and hit Google, it comes up with Jigsaw?
Oh, well, maybe that it was from the show Jigsaw.
Jesus Christ, that would give you nightmares.
Do you see what I mean? This was a kids' TV show, and there's like this white-faced man with a big nose, and he'd run around the garden, as I seem to remember. It was a bit before my time. I just have a very distant memory of it and not liking it at all.
Yeah, I can see why. I think we've definitely talked about this before. This must be an insufferable 5 minutes of a podcast for dedicated followers.
Oh, we've done 200 now. They're all insufferable.
Yeah. No, nice that it all tied up with a Jigsaw reference for Halloween. That was good. Stroke of luck, wasn't it?
Well, you see, everything comes together in the end, doesn't it?
You know, so, can I ask, merges. Are you pro-gonk or anti-gonk? I'm going to clip this out.
I don't mind them. I don't mind the look of a gonk. They look fine to me. I mean, why you'd have one, I don't know. I don't know what they offer.
I've got six of them.
Do you put them away then till next year, or can they stay out forever? Are they just Halloween things?
Five of them are specifically Halloween. One of them is an all-year-round gonk who guards the front room for us at night.
Oh, an all-year-round gonk. What does he protect the room from? The evil gonks. Are there evil gonks, or are all gonks good?
I don't know. We just always, when we turn the lights off and put the alarms on and lock the doors at night, we leave Gilius, the gonk, in charge. And
now, did you name Gilius, or is that his name when you bought him? Because I'd like to think that you've named him that. But you actually sat down, you and Mrs. Ben went, we need to name these. I'd like to know the names of all six of them.
I've not named all six. Only Gilius has a name. His name is Gilius Thunderhead. It's after a video game character in a game called Golden Axe. It's a very weird reference.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very effective.
Do they all have beards? Because I'm looking at pictures now. They all seem to have beards.
Yes. And I believe you can also get like a front door gonk-themed wreath, which looks really good. I quite like one of those. I'm not really a big fan of the door wreath, but I think I would go for a gonk one.
Right. So even the female ones seem to have big beards. Is that right? Just the male and the females all seem to have big beards. It's like a weird, very odd thing. Now, where do they originate?
Come on, Trevor. It's 2023. Come on.
Have a beard if you want one. Like, I'm not going to put you in a freak show. It's not Victorian time. I'm not like, oh, here's the bearded gonk. Here's the bearded lady gonk.
Roll up.
Come and see the bearded lady gonk.
You've completely feed it for ruined tuppence. It. It really does sound like a dreadful racial slur, doesn't it? Oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ever have one again. Now, where do they originate from? Well, they must be Nordic in origin, surely.
I think so, but you've scared me now, so I'm not going to guess.
Because I've got like a troll that my parents brought me back from, I want to say Denmark, it might be Sweden, and that's sort of a bit creepy. That sort of sits on a cupboard in the house. But that's quite, I think they're nice. Like, trolls are good, aren't they, generally?
I think so.
Apart from the one that was under the bridge, in the Billy Goat Gruff story, because he was but he was just on the take. He was just out to make money, wasn't he? Or did he eat them? Did he eat the goats? What did the troll? Or was he just a toll troll? Did he just take the toll for the bridge?
Is that Rumpelstiltskin, or is it?
No, that's completely different. No, Billy Goat Gruff, that's not. Rumpelstiltskin was a very different. I think Rumpelstiltskin is a very dark tale, isn't it? I'm sure there's some very dark side to Rumpelstiltskin.
Where, I mean, how Billy dark Goat, are we talking? Is it appropriate for a Halloween theme podcast, or is it too dark for this?
To give someone's freedom, didn't they have to sacrifice their child? Or there was some, it's like some very dark ending to that story that I think some of the kids' books don't have that in at the end. But of course, it was probably was that a grim fairy tale? And of course, they were pretty. Here we go. Right, I've just found it. The story's about a little imp who spins straw into gold in exchange for a woman's firstborn child.
Good
so, I mean,
God.
Very dark, isn't it? I don't think that was in the book I had as a kid. I'm sure that bit was left out. It was just, oh, he spins gold. Probably there was some like little evil side to him, but like he wasn't taking people's firstborn children.
I tell you what, though, you say that. I bought Mrs. Ben a book, a collection of the Brothers Grimm fairy tales a few years ago, within the last sort of 5-6 years. And she loved it, but I started flicking through some of them. They're fucking dark, man. They're really fucked up, these stories.
Have you heard the one, The Mouse, the Bird and the Sausage?
No, I haven't. Go on, enlighten me.
Right, The Mouse, the Bird and the Sausage is a grim fairy tale, but not one that's particularly well known, because I don't remember this from my childhood at all, but it's one I heard about fairly recently. So basically, there's the mouse, the bird and the sausage, and they live happily all together. The bird brings home wood from the forest. The mouse delivers water, makes the cooking fire, lays the table, and the sausage does the cooking.
Okay.
One day the bird talks to some other birds and they make fun of him, saying that basically he's doing all the work while the mouse and sausage just sit around at home. So the next day the bird demands they switch roles and refuses to go out into the forest. So the mouse and the sausage oppose the idea, but in the end give in. So the bird's now responsible for bringing home the water, the mouse cooks, and the sausage goes into the forest to collect wood.
This is a hell of a story.
Now the sausage leaves to gather wood in the forest early next morning, but doesn't come home again. The bird gets worried, starts looking for it. Soon it finds a dog who's attacked and eaten the sausage. Now the bird, I love this phrase, the bird lodges a complaint against the dog. With who? Who's it lodging a complaint with? The authorities?
But you know, I was worried my bathroom light story was dull.
The dog lies and says that the sausage was carrying forged letters and therefore needed to be punished with its life. The bird can't.
Right, that's a bit extreme.
I know. The bird can't argue, so it goes home and tells the mouse what's happened. They decide that they will have to do their best themselves from now on. So the mouse starts to cook. It imitates the sausage, rolling himself in the pot to mix and season the food. But the mouse can't stand the heat and is boiled alive. The bird comes over the forest. It panics as it can't find the mouse and starts throwing the wood around the house. It yells and searches, but suddenly the wood catches fire. In order to put out the fire, the bird goes to the well to get some water. It falls into the well after dropping in the bucket and then drowns. So they all die.
Fucking hell.
Good night, darling.
Were they off their tits when they wrote that? That made no sense.
They must have been on some magic mushrooms to have written that. Can you imagine sitting there having a
We can't libel the Brothers Grimm, can we?
They've been dead several hundred years, haven't they?
Excellent.
But, you know, they probably sat down one day and went, Jacob, do you fancy some mushroom? Yes, Wilhelm, I will. Oh, man, I think the sausage is dancing around in the pan.
Did you make up those first names, or is that actually their given first names, Jacob and Wilhelm? Really?
Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. Yeah. Why is that so
funny? I don't believe you.
Why is that? Oh, yeah, but Genk, or Gonk, whatever it is, that's fine. What is it? Gonk, Genk.
Gonk.
Gonk, but Jacob and Wilhelm, ridiculous.
Triv, are you familiar with something called the Mandela Effect?
Yes. Now, is this when you have a memory of something, but it's not exactly the way it panned out? I think it goes back to something about people remembering hearing they'd heard Nelson Mandela had died in a certain year or something.
Exactly, and that's where it gets the name from, the Mandela Effect. People have this false memory that they could swear blind they heard the news that Nelson Mandela passed away in prison in the 1980s. So when he died many years later than that, it confused a lot of people who were baffled. And this phenomenon became the Mandela Effect. And it's things you would swear blind you used to know that aren't actually quite the way you might think they are. And yeah. I have been fascinated with some of these. There was a good one, which was about how if I asked you what the final words of the song We Are the Champions by Queen are.
I can't think what they are.
Everybody has this weird memory that it ends with Of the World.
Oh, Of the World. That's right.
Now, this one is explainable because actually the song doesn't finish with Of the World. It just ends after We Are the Champions.
We Are the Champions. But you always sing Of the World anyway. Do you always sing it?
Well, I do. And the reason that it's a false Mandela Effect is because once and once only, I think it was either Live Aid or Band Aid or something, Freddie Mercury in a live performance did sing Of the World at the end of it. And that, for some reason, is the version that stuck with people.
Right.
So now when you play them the song and prove it doesn't end with that, the official released song doesn't end with those lyrics, it blows their minds.
I'd imagine because of Live Aid, to put that on the end would have been the perfect opportunity to get... You know he did that all right. Did all that, didn't he?
God, it's like he's in the room.
I know. So I can do all the voices, Ben. Do them all. And but he did all that, didn't he? And I can imagine at the end of that, it was a great opportunity to get however many people were in at Wembley that day, 80,000 or whatever it was, to go, "Out the world!" Would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
I think so. But then that seems to be the version that stuck. But I have found some that I can't explain. For example, I'm going to ask you a series of questions and then we'll refer to the audio.
Right.
Now, are you familiar with the Eurythmics?
The Eurythmics, yes. That's Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox.
So, well done for knowing Dave Stewart. Well done. I had to Google that earlier myself. I got Annie Lennox. But
I wasn't a radio DJ for nothing, mate. Do you know what I mean? There was some shit that went in and stayed.
I mean, I was just riding your coattails all those years, wasn't I? So, let me ask you this. What are sweet dreams made of, Trev?
Sweet dreams are made of these. Whatever these right. are.
Do you want to play the little clip I've sent you?
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
Travel now, the world and the seven seas.
Etc, etc.
That rhymes with these.
Now, do me a favour and Google the lyrics to Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics and tell me what sweet dreams are made of. This is a minor Mandela effect, but it still counts, I think.
I mean, I'm trying to think of words that would fit there now. Leaves.
I mean, you're very
sweet
close.
Dream are made
you're very
of
close,
leaves.
But you are close, but you are wrong.
Right, sweet dreams. I mean, this is just us Googling shit this week.
I know, but we've done the big 200. This is like when you get to bring toys in.
Yeah, we don't expect too much fucking work. Jesus
this
Christ.
Is like when you get to bring toys in at the end of term. This is like our yeah. rest day, okay?
Oh, sweet dreams are made of this.
Yeah.
This.
I think Annie Lennox.
I disagree.
I just put a bit of a twang on it all these years, but.
Well, she's Scottish.
Official.
Maybe sweet dreams are made of this.
I thought you said you could do all the voices.
I can.
That's the worst Annie Lennox.
That's Annie Lennox. That's how she talks. I mean,
although
she sings
on the plus
differently.
Side, we can now officially say we've had Annie Lennox on our podcast.
And Freddie Mercury. Both on the same edition. I mean, Freddie Mercury, that was a weird one because I think because it's near to Halloween, I was able to channel him, my spirit guide, which is obviously an old Apache Indian, managed to... He's called Big Bollocks. He he patched me in to Freddie. I heard him say to me,
"Did he patch you in?"
He patched me in. He apached me in to Freddie. He's sitting on my shoulder now, and he said, "Trev, I've got him." And he went, "Rail, rail!" I can't. It just happened to me again. I can't help it. It's like I'm possessed by Freddie Mercury. And I mean, obviously, Annie Lennox is still with us, so it's not. That was just an accurate representation of her voice.
Yes, she is still with us. I'm chuffed to reveal she is still with us, 68 years old, I believe, and born on Christmas Day.
Okay, what's she know?
Some fun Annie Lennox trivia for you that nobody asked for.
I know. I mean, this is like a deep dive into the Eurythmics that we're suddenly doing. So why does she wait?
But this is the kind of bullshit that's been trained into us. Whenever you stop playing a record, you need some useless fucking knowledge about the artist.
Coming up next, a song from a woman who was born on Christmas Day. And people tell you to say that kind of stuff because that people won't turn off. People won't, they want to stay and fight. No one gives a flying shit. I prefer to do the other thing. I'd go, coming up next, a song from a man who died on Christmas Day.
Ooh.
And play Smile by Charlie Chaplin.
Now, we may have talked, this is a brief sort of tangent and I apologise, but it's worth telling, I think. Can you tell the story of your favourite note that you saw? One of these sort of fun after the song's played facts that you were given on your computer screen to read out about a certain singer. You know exactly what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
Well, this was when I was at a radio station. As like you say, they would if a song played, the computer was programmed to have a little fact pop up that you could either use or not. It was up to you. And this was it was Marvin Gaye. Now I can never remember whether he shot a family member or whether he was shot by a family member. I can't remember which way around it was, but that was the fact that would pop up, and I used it every time. I didn't care. because I'd come out of whatever song it was going, what's it called? Through the Grapevine. Through the Grapevine, that's Marvin Gaye. Fun fact for you, he was murdered by a family member, or he murdered a family member, whichever is the correct fact. And I go, coming up next, Cliff Richard. And he's like, why put that in as a fun fact? It's not a fun fact. Oh. Well, I used it every time because I just thought it was fucking hilarious.
Well, if someone's put it in the computer, that's not your problem, is it? You're just reading.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, I could choose to use it or not, and I chose to on every occasion.
So, I've got some more Mandela Effect questions for you that I'm hoping will continue to blow your mind.
Right.
Are you familiar with the Snow White Disney film?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time since I've seen it, but yes.
Okay, so the iconic scene where the evil witch speaks into her mirror and she utters a certain phrase. What's that phrase, Trev?
No, this is famous, isn't it? Because everyone thinks she says, mirror, mirror on the wall. I mean, she doesn't say that.
Here's what she actually says.
What wouldst thou know, my queen?
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
I would have bet a kidney that she said mirror, mirror on the wall.
Yes, I mean, everyone's always said that. Like, why has mirror, mirror become the phrase? I mean, I remember making a spoof pantomime at a radio station years ago, and we had the character say mirror, mirror on the wall. That's what everyone says. So why is... I'd be interested to know in the book, in the original book, whether it's magic mirror or mirror, mirror.
Well, that's a good question. But I think the consensus is, and I don't know where it came from, maybe... pantomime adaptations have convinced everyone it should be Mirror Mirror, but it never was.
It's Magic Mirror. Mirror Mirror is better, though, isn't it?
It's much better.
Fuck Disney, that's what I say.
Now, here's another one that I found recently, and it's to do with the theme tune of Friends.
Oh, what a week to be bringing that up. What a sad event there's been in the world of Friends this week.
Yes, rest in peace, Matthew Perry. Very sad news this week. So I think it was because my TikTok feed had been a cross between very sad Matthew Perry news and Mandela effects that I stumbled across a sort of mesh between the two.
Right, which was you found the middle of the Venn diagram.
Exactly. The Friends Mandela effect. How many claps are there?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask how many fucking claps there are.
In the Rembrandt's I'll Be There For You song.
I want to say five, because it's, they're very quick as well. I think it's
well, that
five.
Was about seven, wasn't it?
It's very quick, isn't it? I mean, it could be seven, for all I know, because it's like, there's a lot there.
Too so many you to think count. It's five. You think it goes...
It might, that sounds like, musically, that sounds right. I mean, it could be four, but four doesn't seem enough.
Now, Mrs. Ben is a huge Friends fan.
Right.
Loves it. When I asked her this one, it almost caused a bit of an atmosphere in the house told her that she was wrong.
How many did Mrs. Ben say?
Five.
Oh, so it's not five. I know that much now.
It's not five. So, here it is.
No one told you that was gonna be this way.
You see, it's too quick to count.
It's four.
Hang on, I'm going to hear that again.
No one told you that was going to be this way.
Yeah, all right, it's four. It's four.
It is four.
But I would have sworn five. I would have said five every day of the week. And I think I've clapped along five for all these years. Whenever I've heard that. I mean, I can never keep up with the clap. It's way too quick. I can't believe anyone can clap that quickly.
I know, but you're not that coordinated at the best of times, are you, dear?
I reckon there's four people doing each one clap there, because there's no way anyone could do four that quickly. It's not possible.
Now, do you want another one?
Okay, go on, yeah.
We're not only going back to Disney.
Okay.
We're going back to Snow White again.
Oh, my God, right, okay.
Very simple question, Trev. I'm sure you'll know the answer. What was it the Seven Dwarfs sang on their way to work? What do they sing?
Oh, don't tell me this is wrong.
No, come on, you haven't told me what you think yet. You might be right. Come
it's
on.
Hi-ho, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
Wrong.
Oh, fuck off, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's not wrong. It's hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
I promise you, this was the one that did the most damage to me, because like I said before, I would have put my life on this being the case. The Seven Dwarfs do not sing It's Off to Work We Go. They sing this.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from Earth we go. Hi-ho, 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 hi-ho.
What do they say? It's on to work we go.
No, they sing... It's home from work we go.
Oh, it's home from work we go. So they don't sing it on the way to work.
No.
They only sing on the way home.
Exactly. I've checked this and they only ever sing It's home from work we go.
Are you sure there's not a going to work version?
Well, this is the point of the Mandela effect. Maybe in a different version, maybe some split in the universe occurred and it's all changed without us knowing. But apparently, we have all been singing that wrong for, as long as it's been in existence. We've all been thinking they said, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. It was never that. It was, it's home from work we go.
Home from work we go. Well, have you watched the film?
When I was about...
No, it was about
eight,
you. You haven't watched it in preparation for this because I'm just wondering whether there is earlier in the piece. There's a piece when they go to work and they sing "Hi ho, hi ho, it's off to work we go." And then there's the day where Snow White's pissing about home with all the animals, singing songs, cleaning, doing all that. And then they come home from work and they sing "It's home from work we go." And I'm just saying, have you just skipped to the coming home bit?
I mean. If that is the case, there would be a lot of egg on my face, which I can't rule out as a possibility. But I'm fairly sure that they never sang It's Off to Work We Go.
Wow. Well, that's blown my mind.
I tell you what, even if you don't agree that there's been a split in the timeline and we're all living in a different dimension or universe now, it's still a great way to start an argument in a pub, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's some other ones, isn't there? Like, You Dirty Rat, Jimmy Cagney. He never said that, did he? And yet everyone goes, yeah, you dirty rat.
Another big one. What? Okay, give me the most famous line spoken by E.T. the extraterrestrial.
Oh, phone home.
Never said it.
Oh, the home. He never said phone it. Home.
No, that idiot said home phone.
Home phone. Well, he sort of said it, but in his own language.
It's a quote of two words. That's all you have to remember for that quote. Two words, and we managed to fuck it up and misremember it. He actually says home phone.
Home phone. Home phone. Yeah. I mean, the other one is Play It Again, Sam from Casablanca. I think he says play it, Sam. He doesn't play it. He says, yeah, play it again, Sam. Doesn't say that. I'm doing all the voices this week.
That's a man of a thousand voices. Darth Vader never said, Luke, I am your father. Never said it.
What does he say?
Something. It's not the line that everyone quotes.
You can't hear him. He's like... too busy having an asthma attack. You can't hear what he's saying. Anyway.
And apparently, this is one of the weirder ones. I read that Anthony Hopkins in the film Silence of the Lambs, he never actually says, hello, Clarice. In fact, he just says, good morning.
I watched it recently. I mean, he says Clarice a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say he never says with a nice Chianti.
Oh, no, he does that.
And also, here's another one. I don't think Frank Spencer ever said, ooh, Betty. I think he went,
how's
ooh,
that happened?
And then he'd say Betty at times. But I don't think ooh, Betty ever happened. But I think that came from Impressionists at the time. I think possibly Mike Yarwood started it. Ooh, Betty.
I think that's how a lot of these start. I think Impressionists take their own variation of the... you know, person they're impersonating.
Yes, yes.
And then people watch it, laugh at it, and then they do impressions of the impressionist, and then time passes, and we're all then flabbergasted to learn these things were never actually said by the guy.
I know. Do you know what I'm dreading? I'm dreading the day when someone says to me, Brucey never said, nice to see you, to see you, nice.
Trevor Smith, the man of a thousand voices. That was 9 claps there, by the way.
Too many. So before we wrap up this week, Ben, I thought we could test our brains a little bit. Have you seen this puzzle that's been doing the rounds on social media this week?
I don't think I have. Which puzzle is this?
It's a brain teaser. It's one of those that's set for kids at school. It's like, we'll go through it in a minute, but it's one of those where you have to try and get your head into gear to work out the logic and find the answer.
Okay.
And I've avoided the answer because I read the question and I haven't got the foggiest. So I thought, well, perhaps you and I, with the brain power of the two of us combined, who knows what we could achieve, Ben?
I mean, we do have, this is a scary thought, by the way, we do have between us 80 years worth odd of knowledge.
Yeah, none of it useful or helpful or indeed academic. I mean, I can tell you, you know, I can tell you who was in the Eurythmics, for example. That's not going to help you pass an exam to get you into Oxford, is it?
You're probably right. But just to clarify, this riddle is designed for children, right?
It's put forward as a children's maths problem.
All right, well, hit me with it. What's going on?
Okay, right. The question. Albert and Bernard have recently become friends with Cheryl. Now, that already, because I think all of this is going to be important information, right? So if you've got that already. Albert and Bernard have become friends with Cheryl. Yeah. They want to know when Cheryl's birthday is. Cheryl gives them a list of 10 possible dates. I mean, fuck's sake,
why?
Just answer the fucking question. What is wrong with her?
She the Riddler?
Yeah.
Just answer the question, love.
Like, I just think, well, fuck your friendship then. I don't want it if you're playing games like this. I'll go and do hopscotch with somebody else.
Oh, honestly. Dear, right.
Right, Cheryl gives them 10 possible... You might want to write these down. And,
oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, you might need to write these down. And wherever you're listening, you might want to write these down. If you're driving, pull over and start writing this shit down. This is important. Right, have you got a pen and paper?
Okay, I have my pen and paper at the ready.
Right, okay. So 10 possible dates. May the 15th. May the 16th. May the 19th. June the 17th, June the 18th, July 14th, July 16th.
Hang on a minute, I can't write this fast. Start again with July. Where were we? July.
Right, what did you get? Did you get
I got
July
June 14th. 17th, 18th.
Right, July 14th. I mean, if we can't even get this far, we're in trouble. July 14th, July 16th, August 14th.
Yeah.
August 15th.
Yeah.
And August 17th. Right. Cheryl doesn't stop being a pain in the arse there. Oh, no. Right, because Cheryl being Cheryl, she decides to tell Albert only the month of her birthday and Bernard only the day of her birthday. So between them, they have the answer, but separately, they've only got half the information they need. Okay?
Okay.
So Albert says, I don't know when Cheryl's birthday is, but I know that Bernard doesn't know either. Bernard says, at first, I don't know when Cheryl's birthday is, but I know now. Albert says, then I also know when Cheryl's birthday is. So when is Cheryl's birthday? That's the question. I mean, what on earth? Are you giving this to children?
Just one second, Trev. I just need to...
I mean, you can't
useless.
Be, you can't what be throwing away the vital information, mate.
There's no help.
Out if you've thrown it all away.
No help whatsoever.
Right. So, I mean, look, she's told Albert one half, Bernard the other. They've had a little chat. They've worked it out. But how are we supposed to know when Cheryl's birthday? What clues? The clues are there. What clues are we supposed to pick up on in this puzzle?
Right. Repeat back to me the key bit, which was about what they all say to each other at the end.
Right. Albert says, I don't know when Cheryl's birthday is, but I know that Bernard doesn't know either. Bernard says, at first, I don't know when Cheryl's birthday is, but I know now. And then Albert says, then I also know when Cheryl's birthday is. So I think that at first has got to be quite important. When Bernard says, at first, I don't know. And he says, I don't know, rather than I didn't know. I don't know whether that's important, that he's using the present tense and not the past, even though he seems to know now.
And this is for kids, you say?
Yes, it's a children's problem. So Bernard says, at first, I don't know when Cheryl's birthday is, but I know now.
I mean, I'm absolutely flummoxed by this. I almost feel like all of the dates you gave me were just red herrings that we shouldn't pay much attention to.
But it's going to be one of those, surely.
No, does it come down to a 50-50 shot where they can eliminate one of them? Because if two of those months only had two dates within them, June and July, the 17th and the 18th of June and the 14th and the 16th of July...
Right.
But, of course, if you don't know which one the other person's ruling out... No, this is just bollocks. It doesn't work. Are you promising me this is a mathematical problem or is it a linguistic nonsense?
It's a maths problem. It's a logic puzzle set for 11-year-olds. Right? So, as you said earlier, between us, we have not far off 80 years of world experience. This should be a piece of piss. And yet we are both floundering around in the... It's like being in your bathroom after 4:30 in the winter. There is absolutely no chink of light of hope of us getting this fucking answer, is there?
Right, okay. What I'm going to ask you to do...
Yeah.
Is... Because I think... Are we conceding defeat on this? Because I haven't got the first idea of what to do with this.
I can't believe we're conceding defeat, but I think we're going to have to, otherwise we'll just be here all day. I don't think either of us have got any ideas here. Let's go through this. Right, I'm going to open the answer. Right, the answer, let's go through it line by line. So Albert says, I don't know when Shell's birthday is, but I know that Bernard doesn't know either. Now, Albert only knows the month, and every month has more than one possible date. He doesn't know when her birthday is yet. Right?
Right.
Are you any clearer yet?
No.
No.
No, it's not like I didn't hear you. I heard you perfectly. I just can't work it out.
And I'm beginning to hate Albert and Bernard as well. They've done nothing wrong. But I'm beginning to fucking hate them as well. After listening to Albert, Bernard says, at first I don't know when Cheryl's birthday is, but I know now. Now, the only way that Bernard could know the full date with a single number would be if Cheryl had told him 18 or 19 because of the 10-day options. See, I'm reading this. I just still don't understand it.
I mean, a slight penny's dropping there. And it goes back to what I was very badly trying to explain, which is if she's given them these 10 dates, then there's a process of elimination going on here.
Right,
Bernie and Albie are smart enough to figure out, but Trevor and Ben are too fucking stupid.
Yeah. So basically, the only numbers that appear once are 18 and 19 as May 19 and June 18, right? Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, right. Next step. For Albert to know that Bernard doesn't know either, Albert must have been told July or August, since this rules out Bernard being told 18th or 19th.
Christ.
So does this make sense now? So if one's told 18th or 19th, that rules out the other months.
I do understand how to answer it. I can't answer it, but I do understand. It is right. Just a case of simple deduction.
Okay.
But it's way too above my pay grade to be able to work it out.
Remember, this is for 11-year-olds. Just want to repeat that. So anyway, I'm learning this. Albert says that I also know when Cheryl's birthday is. So Bernard's figured out that Albert was either told August or July. So to know the full date, he must have been told either 15, 16 or 17. If he'd been told 14, then he wouldn't know whether the month was August or July. Oh, Jesus, fuck. I mean, I'm losing the will to live just reading this out. Are you any the wiser now? Do you now know when her birthday is?
This is a more disappointing payoff than our our story from our big 200th episode.
So Albert's therefore deduced that the remaining possible dates are July 16th, August 15th and August 17th. For him to now know, he must have been told July. If he'd been told August, he wouldn't know which date for certain is the birthday. Therefore, the answer is July the 16th is Cheryl's birthday.
That's what I thought.
Nonsense. You didn't have a fucking clue. I tell you what. Next, I'm not going to Cheryl's birthday when she invites me. She can fuck off. Well, there we are. That's it for the Halloween edition of the Trev and Ben podcast.
Very good. Recommitted.
Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. I've got a couple of things for you this week. First of all, a film called No Hard Feelings. It's a comedy film starring Jennifer Lawrence, and she sort of plays this woman who's put in touch with the rich family of a son who they want to make a man out of him. That's all I'll say. Right.
Nice.
And it's sort of the story of their friendship, which starts from a very superficial, fake standpoint to a very real friendship. Very funny film. It's well worth a watch. I think it's available on Amazon Prime and also YouTube. It's a few quid to buy it, but it's a good watch. It's just easy, good fun. I will tell you, I don't know what rating it is, but there is some nudity. so it's not for young children.
Yes, but who do you think are the young children who have been exposed to this podcast, so that their parents would have a problem with that?
Well, the 11-year-olds have all been brought round to try and solve that fucking riddle. Everyone who's listening's got their 11-year-old children around going, you can solve this, come on. Listen to these dickheads trying it. But you can't watch anything they recommend. It's pure filth, a lot of it.
What else have you got?
A drama series on Netflix called Angela Black. It's the story of a woman who's in a very abusive relationship, and then a stranger comes into her life, and he's a sort of fixer stroke hitman, and she has to work her way through. I don't want to give anything away because it's such a good drama. I really enjoyed it. I think it's 6 episodes and lots of twists and turns in it.
That sounds good.
And I just want to double down on a recommendation I gave last week. You know, last week I mentioned Planet Earth 3, the new David Attenborough thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I watched the second episode this week. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's just extraordinary. And there was a thing this week. It's called a clown frogfish, right?
Right.
It's the most extraordinary species. And it has like a little fishing rod that comes out of its head with a fake sort of fish on the end of it, and it waggles it. It literally fishes for its prey.
That sounds quite incredible. I'm going to have to give that a look.
Every week that program just brilliant. So anyway, those three very different things to watch this week.
Excellent. I've got a few recommendations of my own. I've recently been put onto the TV show Ghosts, which I think started in 2019.
Oh, mate, I can't believe you've only just started that. I'm envious in a way because I've been rationing the very last series. It's all available, but I've been watching it week by week because I don't want to get to that point where they're all finished and I will never have that experience of watching it afresh and you just coming to it. It's one of those shows that in 100 years time they'll still be talking about, I think.
And it's brilliant. There's 5 seasons of it, apparently. It's still going on, but I think this, as you say, I think this may be the last.
It is the last, yeah.
Charlotte Ritchie's in it, and this isn't a spoiler, but it's a story of a girl who moves into a house, and she falls out of a window, bangs her head, and then she can see and talk to all of the previous residents' ghosts of that house, and it's really, really good. I was worried at first it seemed a bit goofy, but you get over that very quickly. It's not goofy at all. It's really quite funny. So
I'm glad you found it, Ben, because I've recommended that several times over the years, and it's obviously fallen on deaf ears with you, but I'm glad you found it, because I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm quite obsessed with it, actually.
Excellent. Well, you and Mrs. Ben should talk. You'd have a lot to talk about. Also, for podcast fans, which I mean, if you're not a podcast fan, what are you doing? But Mr. Ballin.
They're not podcast fans, they're listening to this.
Mr. Ballin has a new podcast out, which is Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. So
what,
if you're a
what is this?
Yeah, I've recommended before the Mr. Ballin podcast, which is true crime.
Yeah, no, it's always
stories.
Been like true crime, and now he's like Dr. Pimple Popper. What's he doing?
Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. Medical if you have mysteries. Amazon Prime, then you will have Amazon Music as something you're already paying for, even if you're not aware of it. I'd highly recommend it. Although I was a little bit skeptical, because it's basically about very unusual medical things that can happen to people, told in his usual story format. It's really good, but when I put on episode 1, I thought, I bet he's going to mention at some point in this series spontaneous human combustion. It was episode 1.
Episode 1. Wow.
But it's still very much worth a listen. And my final recommendation, this is very unusual for me, it's actually a book.
Oh,
I haven't read it.
Is it a picture book? Oh, you haven't read it. You haven't read it.
No, of course I haven't read it. It comes highly recommended from Mrs. Ben, who is, as I mentioned earlier, a big Friends fan, a big Matthew Perry fan. It's Matthew Perry's autobiography, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. I highly recommend it because she adored it. It was really good and a lovely way to remember a brilliant guy.
Well, there we are. That's it for this week then. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on social media stuff. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.